God's name. Older versions do not take the Lord's name in vain. The Message paraphrase from Eugene Peterson. No misusing the name of the Lord your God in cussing or silly banter. Now, I don't know about you, but for many followers of Jesus, this commandment seems like the easiest one. As long as you haven't dropped a GD today, as long as you're not frivolously throwing OMG out across your text, and as long as you're not using the word God in a trivial fashion, it's very tempting to think we've got this one licked. We've got this one taken care of. However, if we're going to fully grasp and keep this commandment, then we must embrace a fuller understanding of God's name. We're going to have to deal with the last question that our youth just helped us deal with. It's a question that's in your bulletin. What makes God's name so special? What makes God's name so special? How would you answer this question? Grace? What makes God's name so special? Now, Jack got himself up here into an interesting dilemma. Because in the middle of his answering the question, he said, wait a minute, are we talking about what makes God's name so special or what makes God so special? And then he kind of just throws up his hand and says, I don't know, I guess this has something to do with the sermon. Good guess. What makes God's name so special or what makes God so special? Which one of these questions are we answering? God's name is special or God's name is sacred because of God's character. You cannot separate God's name from God. When you speak God's name, you speak not about God, you speak of God. Now, we struggle with this idea. In our culture, a name can be just a name, but not in the days when God gave this commandment. When God gave this commandment, in these biblical times, these times of Moses, particularly in the Old Testament, a name does not represent a person. A name is the person. A name does not represent God. The name is God. So when we speak God's name, we are speaking of God. Bill Self says it this way. In the 21st century mind, a name is a symbol of a person and calls to mind that person. But in the biblical concept, the name of the person written down is that person. The person was actually present in the name. To utter or write someone's name in the culture of Moses was to speak the person, not to speak about the person. To give praise to God's name was to praise God. To speak about God's name was to speak of God. To speak God's name was to engage in intimacy with God. God's name is not just a name. When we speak of God's name, or when we speak God's name, we speak of God and intimately connect ourselves with God. When we speak God's name harshly, flippantly, or contemptuously, we are not just showing contempt for God's name, we are showing contempt for God. We are speaking ill of God. We may not have this same kind of deep connection between name and person in our culture as they did in the Old Testament times, but we understand this is so. Imagine you overhear someone speaking about your grandchild, and they're saying something that is not kind about your grandchild. As a grandparent, what are you going to do? You're going to defend them because you understand they're not just talking about your grandchild's name, they're talking about your grandchild. Think about it this way. If you overhear someone speaking negatively about your child, you understand they are not speaking about your child's name. They are speaking about the character and life of your child. And believe you me, as a parent, you're going to stand up and be counted because they are not going to drag your child's name through the mud. Because to drag your child's name through the mud is to drag your child through the mud. If you overhear someone speaking negatively about your spouse and they name your spouse's name, you are going to be up in arms. At least you better. Because that's not just the name that they are talking about. They are talking about the person you love more than anyone else on this planet. To drag your spouse's name through the mud is to drag your spouse through the mud. And you are going to stand up and be counted. And you are going to defend the name of the one you love, because you're going to defend the person. When we misuse a person's name, it does more than shame their name. It attacks their reputation. We understand this. When we misspeak God's name, when we speak it in a cavalier fashion, when we use it just as a part of our filler in a sentence, when we speak it in a way that is mean or dishonoring or hurtful, we are harming God. We are wounding God. To disrespect God's name is to disrespect God. This leads us to an important question. What is God's name? What is God's name? If you want to know someone, if you want to begin a relationship with someone, you walk up to them and you ask, "Hi, I'm Randy. What's your name?" When you want to know someone, you want to know their name. In Moses' time, all the Egyptians, all the Canaanites, all of their gods and goddesses, they all had names. They all had a name to designate both their power and the limits of their power. Because by very definition, if the God of the river has power over the river, he does not have power over the sky. So his name as the river god means that he has power, but his power is limited to that locality. So Moses, when he is talking with God, Moses wants to know God's name. Because all the gods around his area, he has been used to understanding a God's power through God's name. So Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, he has this conversation with God, starting with verse 13. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what am I to tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God has said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name which I am to be remembered by from generation to generation. I am who I am.'" Unlike these other gods, God doesn't have a particular locality where his power resides. God doesn't have a particular time where his power resides. He does not have a particular domain that is his responsibility and all other domains belong to someone else. God says, "I am." And what that means is, I am before the beginning and I will be after the end. All that is finds its rest and its creation in me, and I am the Alpha and the Omega, as we are told in Revelation, the beginning and the end. I will be who I will be. I will do what I will do. I am God. God says this name so that Moses will know the infinite power of God in the face of the finite gods and goddesses that were followed by Pharaoh and the Egyptians. God does not answer Moses with a mere word. He answers by revealing God's character, by revealing God's identity. Now, it got a little unwieldy, I guess, to say, "I am who I am," whenever they were talking about God. So the Israelites, they had a Hebrew word, a word that was God's name. It was a word that was so holy, so sacred, so special that it was never spoken. It was only written in very specific ways. It was the name Yahweh. And it was never spoken by the people because it was so holy. You can look, when you're looking in your Old Testament and reading through the Old Testament, whenever you see the word "Lord" in all caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, whenever you see the word "Lord," that's God's name, Yahweh. The holy name that was spoken, and even to this day, Jewish people will not speak the name because the name is so holy and so precious. Why? How do you worship God if you can't say his name? Well, they had other names that they used. Elohim, Adonai. Other names to point toward God and to say that God was so much more than one word can contain. And they used those names to talk about God. Now for us, we use the word God to talk about this infinite one. This one who has all the power and who knows all and creates all. The one who has provided his son for our redemption. We use the word God. We get that perhaps from the folks in the New Testament, the Greek language that use the word theos to talk about this God. We use that word God. And that is the way we refer. Now, what about the name Jesus? Well, Jesus is the Son of God. He was a human carpenter, but he was also the Son of God who lived on this world, on this earth, and was sent by God to be the one who dies on the cross for our sin, to give us forgiveness and to give us a way to follow a new way of life. So Jesus, which means, by the way, God saves. This name is precious to us as well. And this name of Jesus is connected to I Am, the name of the Lord God. As a matter of fact, Jesus got into great trouble at one point. If you look with me in John chapter 8, Jesus is in a conversation, really a debate, with some religious leaders of his day, and they're trying to figure out who he is. They're trying to understand who he is because he taught with such great authority. And Jesus replies to them, this is John chapter 8, verse 54, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, who you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you." Wow. Can you imagine telling all the religious leaders, all the leaders of our church, a liar like you? Wow. "But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you have seen Abraham." Jesus says, "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Do you see what Jesus did there? He identified his mission as the Son of God with God. He claimed that in the beginning, like the beginning verses of John, in the beginning, was the Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus claimed his identity as rooted in the God of all creation and all history. When we say the name of Jesus, it is absolutely subject to the third commandment. Because the name of Jesus, and for that matter, the name of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, they are connected. Because God is God, Jesus is God's Son. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God present in our world. To speak of them is to speak of the same Holy One. God's name is precious. And when we use it in too familiar a manner, when we misuse the name of God, we're not just misusing God's name. We're disrespecting God himself. Now, let me take a little bit of a rabbit trail for a minute, if you will. We've talked a lot about God's name and what God's name is. I want to know, what's your name? What is your name? And I'm not asking the name of what your parents gave you, like they gave me Raymond Shepley III. I'm not asking that name. I'm asking what God says your name is. Because if we're real clear about what God says his name is, we might ought to listen to what God says our name is. Because you know what? We go around in our lives believing false things and giving ourselves false names all the time. We give ourselves names like broken, beaten up, addict, troubled, lonely, alone, wounded, never going to get better, hopeless, defeated, overwhelmed, depressed. Any other name you can think of, there's hundreds of names that we give to ourselves. And we own those names and we make that our identity. But folks, if God's name is sacred, then the names that He gives to you and me are sacred as well. What has God called you? He has called you loved. He has called you forgiven. He has called you invited to make Him your forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life. He has called you ones who receive grace. He has called you beloved. He has called you a child of God. Friends, let's let this moment be the moment that we stop believing the false names about ourselves forevermore. Because friends, you have been named by the God of the universe. You have been named as precious, as beautiful in His sight. You have been named worthy of His Son. You have been named as ones that He was willing to die for. So as we have this conversation about God's name, let's remember that God in His might and God in His power has named you beloved. And all of those names that the world tries to tell you, all of those failures that you have that you try to use to define you, all of that brokenness, all of those mistakes, all of that hate, all of that hurt, that is not you. Because God has named you precious. And you have the opportunity to follow Him. If we are going to own God's name, then we need to believe what God has said about us. Because everything else in the world tries to tell us what's false. You are God's beloved. And regardless of what you've done, you have the opportunity to be made right with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Do not forget your name. Because your name is given by God, the great I Am. Friends, when we rightly speak the name of God, we need to know something. We need to know that when we rightly speak the name of God, we run into God's name as a refuge. God's name is a refuge for us when we are hurting and we are broken. Now let's play that out just a little bit. This comes from Proverbs 18:10. Years ago, I learned a praise and worship song rooted in Proverbs 18:10, and it made such an impact on me, I sought out the verse and found it. So many of our praise and worship songs are simply straight scripture, and this was one of them. It says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe." The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into Him, and they are safe. What this text tells us from Proverbs 18:10 is very simple. When we call on the name of the Lord, when we pour ourselves out to Him, we find rest in God Himself. To call on the name of the Lord is to call on God. There's not this dichotomy of the name. God's name is not about syllables. It's about God's character. And when you call on the name of the Lord, when I call on the name of the Lord, God meets us and He protects us and provides for us and keeps us safe. Now, don't misunderstand. That doesn't mean you are insulated from forever from every negative circumstance. That doesn't mean you're insulated from anyone hurting you or anyone speaking poorly of you. What it means is that when you run into God's name as your refuge, that regardless of what the circumstances are, you will have the power to endure by Christ Almighty. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, let's not make a mistake here that some people make. Sometimes people think that the name of the Lord, if you say God's name right, if you say it in the right way with the right nuance, that it's almost a chant, almost a magic spell, if you will. If you say it correctly, then God will hear you. Friends, I've even heard people say that in order to have your prayer heard by God, you have to close your prayer with something like, "In the name of the Lord Jesus," or "In the name of God," because if you do not pray in the name of, then God doesn't hear your prayer. Folks, that's bogus. How do I know that? Well, let me start with Jesus. He prayed the model prayer to show us how to pray, and he didn't end the prayer by saying, in the name of me. It's not there. Friends, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. What we are learning there is that we can run to God, and when we run to God, when we call out his name, he will meet us. Used rightly, we find our refuge in God's name, because God's name is God's person. And to call on the name of the Lord gives us a place of rest and refuge. Rightly speaking the name of the Lord leads us to refuge in God. Rightly speaking the name of the Lord also connects us to God's mission. Have you ever read through the Bible and read a passage that you've read many times and all of a sudden it hit you between the eyes in a way that it never had before? That happened to me this week. It happened with this passage from Deuteronomy 32, 1 through 3. These are words from Moses. Speaking his last sermon, his time as Israel's leader is just about at an end. And he speaks these words. He says, "Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God." Friends, God has a mission on this planet. God is on this mission on his planet. His mission is simple: to proclaim his name to every life, to every corner, to every piece of all of creation, till his name reigns over all that is. Now, friends, let me make something really clear. That doesn't mean that God's name is spoken to every person on the planet. That means that God's name and the way God lives and God's character embodies everything in the world so that our world runs the way God created it to run. When God's name is proclaimed, it's not just God's name being said. It is God's way of life being enacted in our culture. When we proclaim the name of Jesus, when we say we're going to go and proclaim the name of Jesus, whether it is to the cubicles nearby, whether it's to the school where we attend, whether it is on our street, whether it's on our city, whether it's in Puerto Rico, Romania, or anywhere else in the world that we go, we do not simply go to speak God's name and to utter syllables. We go to proclaim God's name and to live God's love and to extend God's grace so that people in contact with us, they get a touch of God. Because proclaiming God's name is not simply about the words that come out of my mouth. When we proclaim God's name, we are proclaiming that God's way is going to have its way on this planet. We are going to say that we are proclaiming that love is going to overcome hate, that racism is going to go away because we will not have any of that, because all people are created in God's image and we do not look at people different based on ethnicity, language, color, or anything else they do. When we proclaim God's name, we are going to see a place where people who are poor have jobs and where people who are broken and sick are made well. We are going to proclaim what we hear in Jesus' first sermon, where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to give sight to the blind, to give walk, to heal the lame and make them walk." And we're going to see God's kingdom come down here. Because we know that in proclaiming the name of the Lord, love wins and love will reign and people will experience grace and things will be set the way that God needs to see them set. That is what we are about. That is what God is doing. That is his mission. And when we speak his name, we are lashing ourselves to that purpose. So friends, if you want to speak God's name, if you want to pray in Jesus' name, if you want to proclaim God's name, If you want to say, praise the name of the Lord our God, if you want to sing and say, blessed be your name, then you better be ready, because as soon as you say those things, you are lashing yourself and making your life completely subservient to God's mission on this planet. You are making loving people, until they embrace Jesus Christ, your lifelong mission. You are making loving your enemies a part of who you are. You are making praying for those who persecute you a part of your DNA. When you say the name of Jesus Christ, you are taking on His mission. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. I will praise my God day after day. God has a mission. For God's mighty name and all the love and holiness it conveys to be proclaimed all over the world, so that people will find their life and hope in Him, so that all that is wrong will be set right. The way we use God's name either advances God's mission or inhibits God's mission. Above all things, I do not want to stand in the way of God's work. I do not want to stand in the way of God's name, because to do so means to stand in the way of God's mission. And I was put on this earth to be a part of God's mission. So were you. By now, we should all understand the truth. The way we speak God's name matters. When we come to grips with the truth that to speak God's name is to actually connect with God, you see why this commandment is so essential. To cuss with God's name is to curse God. To cuss with God's name is to curse God's mission on this planet. To curse someone with God's name is to curse someone that Jesus died for and that God loves. Now let me speak just a word about a couple of these things. We often hear in movies and all around our culture, our school hallways, our construction sites, our offices, we hear folks throw around the phrase GD this, or GD this person. Who do we think we are? Who do we think we are? Because what that literally says is that we think we have the authority to tell God to send someone to hell. We think we have the authority, if we say that phrase, to GD something or someone. We think we have the authority to write a person off that God loves and tell them, say, God, this person is so pitiful, is so worthless, that you ought to write them off right now. Thanks be to God He did not do that with us. So anytime you say it or are tempted to say it or hear it, what you are hearing is someone frivolously saying that the life of the person they are speaking about does not matter, and it's a lie straight from hell itself. Friends, there is not one of us in this room who has any authority to condemn someone to hell. There is not anyone in this room who has any kind of authority to say this person, God, belongs away from you because they are too bad to be redeemed. That is not our job. At the end of the day, God gets to decipher who is with Him and who is against Him. God is wise enough. I can trust Him to do that. I don't have to do that. What I have to do is I have to love. I have to invite people to Jesus, and I have to be about His mission and be about honoring His name with my worship, because that is what my life is about. My life is not about pointing fingers. And the more you point fingers and trying to be God, the less you realize, the more you prove that you are not Christ-like. Because pointing fingers is not the vocation of Christians. God gets to decide who stands with Him and who doesn't. That's not our job. Sometimes we speak of God's name cheaply. And I have to confess to you, the letters OMG really bother me. They bother me a lot. Why? Well, text speak, as it's called, like LOL, rolling on the floor laughing, all of those other great text things, some which I can admit to you I know what they mean, others which I can't. All this great text speak is designed to do what? To simplify language and communication. Right? We do these things so we don't have to text out all the words, right? Isn't that why we do it? We don't want to text out all the words, so we text out these things. Friends, I do not want to be guilty of simplifying God's name. I do not want to be guilty of trying to make God's name seem simple or trite. The reason I find trouble with that phrase is because it makes God's name trite. And friends, there is nothing trite about the God of the universe, about the God who gives us life. There is nothing trite about the God that loved me so much that he gave me and you an invitation to follow Jesus. God's name is not common, it is precious. What God offers to us is precious. What God in Jesus Christ has done in me is precious. It is only something he could have done. The miraculous transformation that he has done in my life is only something he could have done. And I am not going to speak simply or banally about his name when he has saved me and set me free. We must speak carefully. Friends, what God has done for you and me on the cross is not common. Why would we run the risk of treating God's name as slang? Friends, I also would point out to you one other thing. Sometimes we speak God's name tritely in order to validate our own opinions. Sometimes in conversations, when we share our opinions or we debate something, we say, well, you know what? This is what God means when he says, or this is what God wants. Oftentimes this happens in politics, oddly enough. Oftentimes, a person from the right or the person from the left will argue about what God wants and will then be thinking about that God, in his great might, to come up with what's going to make this world the best and create it into what it's supposed to be, and the best God could come up with was a platform from a political party. Folks, God is so much bigger than that. Be very careful. Just because you believe something so passionately, you don't stamp God's name on there just so that he agrees with you. If you want to know what God thinks about something, you dig deep in the Word and you pray and you listen and you do so humbly. Because when we speak about what God thinks, we tend to speak more what we think than what God thinks. And everybody wants God to agree with them. So be careful. God is not the mascot of any political party. He is not. His name is not the stamp of approval for my set of opinions. God's name is holy. God's name is bigger. God's name is greater. We must take care with the name because, friends, God is listening. The world is listening. If you use God's name in a common, repetitious conversation, you will wall yourself off from the power of God working in your life. To disrespect God's name is to stand against God. My hope and my prayer would be that in my own God talk, I would go, grow much more careful with how often and how I say God's name. Because friends, when we speak God's name, we proclaim God's mission and character. When we misuse God's name, we betray God's mission and character. We must honor God's name. To do so is to honor God. How do I know? The words and prayers of Jesus. Pray with me if you will. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name.